Welcome to the new Void Gazers podcast. I'm right. Oh, wait, no. That's not how I wrote the introduction. Wow. We're getting right into it, folks.
This is a podcast. Can we get a new host?
Now, this is podcasting. I'm Riley the Vizier. I'm a podcast producer, video editor, rapper.
I'm Trixie the Golden Witch. I'm a writer.
I'm Min Salad, the absolute unit, and I'm a graphic designer, video editor. I do cookist stuff.
Cookist stuff?
I'm a cookist.
You're stealing Bird's bit.
But I don't
cookist. You bitch!
As much as Birdist, you know?
You're not a cookist.
You actually do cook more than I do.
Actually, look, we don't have to talk about who cooks the most. Bird?
I'm Bird the Sledgehammer Stork, and I cook, and I'm in a mountain currently.
Not, in a mountain?
Yeah, not on one.
In the mountain?
That's cool. In the How'd that happen?
I was thinking really hard in my house, and then bam.
Turned into a mountain.
No, I teleported, I think.
I think that's how you get the big Goron sword in the Minish Cap. It's like you teleport to a mountain by way of
in a mountain.
Thinking hard, yeah, and then you have it.
And this is the new Void Gazers podcast. We have opinions about things, and now you can subscribe and download the podcast to hear those opinions. Bird is with us. Mint is with us. Trixie and I, one of us will always be here to host for you. But, you know, Bird or Mint, they can come and go. Or maybe I won't be here for episode 4 and it'll just be Trixie and Mint.
Yeah, some of us have what people on the internet call real jobs. Whereas others of us, such as myself, are available all the time because I have a fake internet
Trixie
job.
Trixie has no schedule.
No schedule, except for when people are like, when do you want to do this thing? And I'm like, you figure that out for you, and then I'll base the rest of my shit around that. But, yeah, typically I don't have a schedule unless somebody else has something they need me to do.
Perfect. Well, this is what we need you to do now. Every week, the new Void Gazers podcast, folks. Look at that logo on screen. That logo right there, Mint Salad drew it for us.
Wow.
Can you not believe it?
No.
That's your catchphrase.
Is it? I cannot believe it.
You've already said it. It's the beginning of the show, and you've already dropped your catchphrase. There's not much character value for you left.
Wow, I can't believe it is one of my favorite internet catchphrases already. I think it has the legs to go the distance.
It's so easily referenced, you know?
It's shocking that it wasn't already a thing in that way, in that order. But, like, the way that Mint does it is so specific, so emblematic, that it's in, like, you can't just rip it off without it being obvious that you're doing a Mint Salad. So, like, you know, that's what makes it so powerful, is that, like, it's generic enough a phrase that everyone can relate to it, but said in such a specific way that it's definitionally Mint Salad.
It has to be rememberable, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta remember
and
that
And it comes
shit.
Naturally to you. It's not something you're doing as a bit as much as, like, actually just incidentally saying that. Because
it's not the Rick and Morty thing where he's trying out new catchphrases until he gets one.
Yeah.
You just said that once, and then a bunch of people quoted it back to you, and then it got stuck in your head and sort of reverberated.
Yeah.
Until you had to spit it back out over and over again. Now you just say it all the time.
At one point during the It's Been Salad show... I just said it a lot because it was like a crutch word, and then people sort of like, oh, it's
That'll
great,
do it.
And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I gotta say this again more and more.
It seemed like it was really the trip you took to do all that filming in Pennsylvania for the Ghostbusters review, where, like, by the time you came back, you had said it in about 16 different videos, 12 times each, like, in that filming process, and so by the time you came back, it was like a fully fledged catchphrase. Like, it was going forward with full steam.
Yeah, it was. Links below to the videos that we were talking about in the episode. I'm gonna do my best, at least for the first few episodes, to have really real good timestamps for topic discussions, real good video links in the description etiquette. Okay? And if, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a fan of mine and Mint's and you don't know Bird and Trixie, I'm going to have them do a further introduction to themselves real fast. But in kind, if you're here because you're a fan of Trixie's or Bird's, I know Bird's in a mountain, which makes him more interesting than us. And so he's probably got a lot of mountain people tuning in. Just like he's reaching a new demographic.
The big mountain.
Have you told any of your mountain people about the fact that you're going to be doing this show?
Radio waves and internet waves. They don't reach this mountain. We don't have. What do you call it? Fios.
How are you with us?
Oh well, see, I'm sitting next to you through astral projection and on the microphone.
Okay. It's like a sensate thing.
Do you think that other members of your mountain community
would be willing to astral project themselves to a computer to listen to this podcast to hear you with your friends?
Well, it's not a mountain people thing. It's just like a me thing. The astral projection. The mountain people, you know, like hobbits.
Yeah,
they're like hobbits,
and you're like Gandalf.
I'm just tall. I'm not a wizard.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I do astral project. That's kind of wizardy.
Expect a lot of this, folks. Expect a lot of this in a couple of other segments that we have. We'll be talking our weekly recaps. We will be having an animates segment to discuss whatever anime we all want to talk about, or anime news, or bullshit like that. You know, sort of house cleaning that doesn't get done on other channels that we operate.
I imagine we'll be talking a lot about Gosick on the anime section.
By the demand of our audience,
we should have him on.
Yeah, Mr. Gosick.
We should have him on.
Yeah. So we'll have a listener's comment section and, of course, a main title topic each episode. This week's episode is going to, of course, be the artist formerly known as Kanye West. But first, who are you, Trixie? Why should anyone listen to you on a podcast?
All right, so I like to describe myself as one of the world's most famous anime fans, known for knowing a lot about anime, having seen a lot of it, having thought a lot about it, brought a lot of those thoughts to the table. I've changed the way a lot of people think about anime, particularly critically, through my video content over the years on the channel Yig Studio, as it is currently known. And, you know, I just have a really, really long history of doing this type of content on the internet. I've got a lot of podcasts under my belt, and I always have fun doing them. And, I'm excited to have another opportunity, because it's been a while since I've really done any kind of podcasting.
Yeah, and this one has to be your best one.
It has to be.
It's got to be the best podcast. This has to be our PKA.
I'm feeling it. I think it's got the legs to go the distance, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, four pairs of legs. That's a lot of legs.
This podcast is a dog, and I'm going to pet it.
For those of us keeping track, that's to go the distance.
It's got the legs to go the distance. Yes.
Okay. So I'll ask you the same thing. Mint, who are you, and why should anyone listen to you on a podcast?
I'm in Salad, and I'm
a dog.
Primarily
a dog.
a dog, but also I'm primarily a digital artist. Just like I've done a lot of mediums. I've done it for all my life, so I'm really good at art, and I just think that I have the perspective, the art perspective that I can bring to a discussion, you know. And the creativity.
And the energy.
And the energy.
And I'll tell you, I've seen that girl's legs. They can go the distance.
And they can go the distance.
Four.
I got them beefy, thick thighs. I have to go far.
Would you say you have double thick thighs?
No french fries.
Good work.
All right. Bird, who are you? And why should anyone listen to you on a podcast?
You see, the thing is, nobody should listen to me on a podcast. But who am I? I like to cook. I like to burn myself. Not intentionally. It just happens a lot. I go walk around barefoot. I longboard barefoot. Go hiking. I like to camp. I one day will buy a truck. Maybe because of this podcast. Probably because of my living in a mountain.
So you're like the quaint everyman character in the Void Gazers group. Is that the case?
Yeah, that sounds correct.
A quaint everyman from a forgotten time when an everyman meant of something very different from what it does now. Because now I'm the everyman in the modern society.
Whoa. You're
exactly
the everyman. Okay. Every man.
Well, eventually it's gonna full circle, right? To where we're all one gender, And if you got to pick a name, well, man has fewer letters than woman. So it's just going to be, you know, every person is the everyman. Instead.
Yeah, well, why is mankind called that if man isn't kind? Let's go ahead and move on to our title topic this week. We are talking about the artist formerly known as Kanye West. We call him Ye here. All right, Ye. We're establishing that now.
Yeah.
We respect each other. He wants to be names.
Called I think Ye, it's weird we when people Ye. Won't call him that.
Right.
Like, I don't understand what separates Ye from anybody else saying that they want to change their name and be called something differently. And it's weird. Like, I understand
mental
that
mental illness. He's easier to dismiss for the same reason that you can dismiss Chris Chan when he wants to be called a woman.
And
it's because yeah. there's a level of mental illness that indicates to you that they don't mean this the same way that other people mean it.
And obviously, everybody has their own line where there's plenty of people who won't acknowledge my name change or gender change.
Right.
And for the same reason, they see it as like, oh, it just blanket is mental illness. But it's weird to me that there are people who would accept my change, but not Ye's. And I'm like, well, what's the difference between me and Ye that makes this? Is it just because, like, Ye isn't changing a gender identity? Is it less clear what the meaning is of the name change, I suppose, I could see? I remember when right. Snoop became Snoop Lion, there was a lot of my mentality was like, Snoop Lion, really? Like, I know you're not going to stick with it because it just doesn't ring. Like, it's sure. not going to work long term. And he went back eventually. Diddy was originally Puff Daddy, shortened to P. Diddy, and eventually just Diddy. And there were the Boondocks comics actually were highly resistant to the shortening of Diddy. And in that case, I think it was more because it was a corporatization. It was that this man became famous as Puff Daddy, a weed reference, and then became a businessman and like couldn't be Puff Daddy.
Right, needed
anymore.
To be P. Diddy.
Right, and yeah. so I understand some level of like cynicism towards that. With Ye, it's got to be emotional because everything with him right. is, you know.
So have you seen Genius yet? Or at least the first part of it that's out at the time of this recording?
I watched a little bit of it last night. It was kind of slow for me. It was a little hard to pay attention
sure.
to. It was mostly, you know, very, very early footage of Kanye.
Yeah. Well, and like, Ye, so, right. Lots of Cootie Simmons and then like sort of him explaining his cultural position, how he gave up his career in television and concert hosting to just follow Ye around mm-hmm. for 2 decades. And then there's lots of establishment of like who the early Rockefeller players were and who Ye was selling beats to at the time. And there's a point towards the middle of the first part, the first episode, where they're in a hotel room and he's looking at like this piece of paper or whatever, and he's having an argument on the phone about what a channel is calling him in their news footage, and they called him Kanye. And he's like, I told you my name's Kanye West. Like, that's the name, is Kanye West, not right. Kanye. And then he sort of, like, as rhetoric, he just says, oh, they may as well call me Ye. Like, and I'm like, uh-huh. So it feels like that clip is telling us that it came from this place of him like trying to create a separation between who he is and who his artist like representation is.
Yeah.
And people didn't respect it anyway. And now he's at a point where he's just like caved to it, like he was Kanye for a long time.
I think that
and now he's Ye.
Well, this puts you know, but now this people contextualizes don't want that. It interestingly for me because it makes it feel like more of almost a shit test in a way. Because I'll say this, like, for me as a trans person, like, if you were to ask me to get into, like, gender theory on a deep level, I'm going to be like, gender is meaningless and shouldn't exist as a concept. But it does exist as a concept. And as a participant in society, for me, it, like, makes the most sense to identify as feminine. And whether someone is willing to, like, you know, use the right pronouns and use the name I choose, you know, to me, it's like a major show of whether you're just willing to respect me as a person on a base level to put aside whatever, like, because there's no real reason to have a problem with calling somebody what they want to be called. Like, if it gives you a hang-up, then it almost suggests there's no way you could communicate with this person. If you're this hung up about, like, the most basic, easy-to-do thing of just using a name they want to be called. And so with, you know, with Ye, for him to have thought, like, well, why can't they use the full name Kanye West? They keep calling me Kanye. It's not as obviously disrespectful as adding something onto a name that he's asking to be even shorter, you know? Like, right. It's more sure. obviously manipulative. It's more obviously non-participatory because it's not just that you're... You can't have the excuse if you're trying to be more casual or that, like, in a way, saying that, you know, oh, we can call you just Kanye and everybody knows what you're talking about because you are the Kanye. And that, in a way, right. is, like, kind of iconic. And he can say, well, fuck, you could say Ye and everybody would also know what you're talking about.
Like, and that's where he has arrived, yeah. As iDubbbz would call it, meta-ironically. Mm-hmm. To the point where he is requesting to be called Ye. Yeah. iDubbbz is stupid. That video, that explanation of meta-irony was, like, a really bad rip of the Drake video.
It felt like from what I heard, it felt like a rehash of Homestuck dialogue. Because there's like a bit in Homestuck sure. where a character explains like the highest level of irony is where it goes...
The sincerity.
Yeah, it's where you can't tell. You just... It wraps all the way around. And like that was a big zeitgeist moment for the internet in 2011 when that happened. Trying to like explain that now, like it's like people don't understand how irony works now. Like our culture is so thoroughly steeped in this. You'd have to be who doesn't understand, you know?
Right.
This conception.
It was a iDubbbz. Bit. iDubbbz
yeah. Apparently, iDubbbz. He's just figuring this out. Like that everybody else is actually on a deeper level of irony than he's been on this entire time. Like,
yeah. And so I think that in the way that iDubbbz didn't understand Sam Hyde or doesn't understand irony, I think a lot of people don't understand the levels of irony that Ye is operating at now that he's sort of a parody of himself. And I think yeah. Genius does a really good job of showing that. But, like, he leans in on the behaviors that, like, okay, the South Park joke that he doesn't get the joke yeah. about the fish sticks. In real life, his anger about that has persisted for over a decade. Which is the joke being, like, vilified.
Right.
That Kanye doesn't get why that's funny. Because yep. he has been mad at it forever. Like,
he's played into it, like, with in a way that could only be deliberate, is what you're saying.
Right, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, there's an episode of South Park written by the guy who was in It. What's his name? Bill Hader? Whatever. There's an old episode of South Park, and in it, Kanye West is the only person in the world who doesn't get the funniest joke in the world, which is, do you like fish? Do you like fish sticks? What are you, a gay fish? The Kanye West character doesn't get the joke. And in real life, Kanye is like, I get the joke. That's not funny at all, which makes it like a meta level of irony funnier that he doesn't get that the joke is that he would get the joke, but that the character doesn't get the joke. So Kanye not getting that joke for 13 years now is really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I think that that level of Ye not kind of like he's trying to be too sincere in an ironic world mm-hmm. at times. And that's what got him into this beef this week, or the last 2 weeks, rather, that he's been in.
He's in one of the miracle of Ye is that, yeah, he's the most sincere person in his position in the world. And not because I think he would choose to be if he could help it. It's the bipolar, the extreme manic states that he enters where he... You know, it's weird because it's all relatable. Like, he says things that anybody reads and goes, yeah, I completely fucking understand the Ye narrative. Like, it's easy to follow in a way that it shouldn't be for how private what he's talking about is. That, like, he'll say things about... I guess a perfect example of this is him calling out Pete Davidson for being Hillary Clinton's boyfriend, which is the funniest thing that I've seen possibly we'll ever there.
Yeah, I have a little timeline to go through.
Okay. But yeah, it's the candidness about stuff that nobody should be candid about, and that everybody assumes is true of all these rich people, that like they're not having different experiences from us, so we know what they must be experiencing,
right?
Because we can relate to them through their work. But it's just, it's all in a different context, and there's flashes of their life that we see and flashes that we don't. But Yay bridges that gap and just takes the stuff that everybody is assuming is true about all of these people and just says it. And like, yeah, it is true. Of course you all assume it's true because it is true. And whether it is completely true or not, it becomes way more true after Ye says it. Where like, suddenly, you know, everybody knows that he has more perspective than anybody else, and that no one else who has his level of perspective would ever be able to get away with saying the stuff he does. And it, you could argue he's not getting away with it. He's just really good at building himself back up. You know, yeah. Like, he just takes really huge blows in a way most people wouldn't be willing to. But there's enough people who are totally convinced of his genius at this point because of the scale on which he's accomplished things and built himself up again and again. Like, you know, if you're an average person, how could you not back that horse if you had the chance? Like, he does seem like an abject genius compared to most sure. people, you know?
Well, later on we'll get into the demographics of the STEM player sales, since he announced that Donda 2 was going to be exclusive to it. But he only sold like 7,000 copies of it after announcing that. He made $1 million in 24 hours or whatever, but he only sold like 7,000 copies. And that's actually not good. I get it. It's $200, but he's got like 15 million followers, and it's weird. I think if more people actually supported him, or like an Elon Musk type, and they didn't have to do like the STEM player or the flamethrower to like trick you into like supporting their artistic vision and their quest to change the music industry, or in Elon Musk's case, quest to sort of individualize like this grand idea of technology. Like, he wants to make you the spaceman. Anyway, people don't really support... Like, they have these huge audiences, but then they have people who just complain that it costs too much. Like, oh, $200. Like, that's $10 saved for 20 weeks.
Yeah.
That's not... I mean, that's like a pack of cigarettes every week that you don't buy.
Yeah.
And then you spend it on furthering an artist's visions. But... Anyway, so the timeline of this ordeal Kanye has found himself currently in was complicated to follow. I had to follow it on 4 different social medias for 2 weeks. But it starts with a headline claiming that Billie Eilish stopping a concert and saying "we help people here" was a diss at Travis Scott.
I see. So that's what it was.
Yeah, Ye screenshotted that and put it on Instagram and like added Billy or some shit and added Travis and was like, "Travis is going to be with me at Coachella and I'm not even going to do Coachella unless Billy apologizes to Trav." And then Billy responded that she literally never said anything about Travis.
Yeah.
That's the quote, which obviously she didn't. Kanye West has been fighting media his whole career. Mm-hmm. And the fact that like the media can still trip him up and trick him into starting like a fight with superstars, it's kind of crazy.
It is. I really think Ye is in a down bad spiral right now. And it's not the same thing as a downward spiral. It's a down bad spiral.
Because he lost Kim.
Ever since losing Kim. Dude, the way he's coming at Pete Davidson. Okay, as an internet person... Imagine we're a part of a lot of circles on the internet. We know a lot of people who get talked about the way that these people do, on a smaller scale online.
Sure.
Imagine someone acting like Ye is acting towards Pete Davidson in our circles. It would be all we talked about. That would be it. It would just be like, look at how jealous. Ah, look at him. He's getting eyes around him. Like.
Yeah, look how mad he is.
It really feels like he bought into... Because, like, everybody in the world is upset at Pete Davidson for the fact that he keeps getting to date, like, these ultra-hot celebrities. And, like, it was this big meme on Twitter for a while of, like, you know, fuck Pete. Like, guys hate Pete Davidson. Guy, no, I, look, by and large, men I hate Pete Davidson. And
he dated Ariana Grande. He stole Ariana Grande from Mac Miller. And then he stole Kim Kardashian from Kanye West.
Yeah.
He hates rappers.
It's brutal. And I really think that, like, the amount of buzz around it, like, yay, just being, however genius he might be, however much in his own world he might seem out there in Wyoming in the fields of his own fucking settlement.
They sold all that.
He doesn't have that. Wherever Ye is now.
Miami.
Is scrolling through Twitter, looking at pictures of Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. Like, that is what Ye is doing. Yeah. He is chump syndrome out the ass right now. Just maximum seethe, totally baited, just. And when you're at the level of personal comfort in your life where, even I struggle with this, and I'm not at a high level of personal comfort, but, like, for me, it can be hard to have the motivation to be more worried about work than whatever's going on, like, emotionally, if I can afford the time to be emotional about something, if that makes sense. Like, when you have to clock into a 9-to-5, you got to put your feelings behind you and go back to work. When you don't have to do that, you can just dwell into it and just get further and further. And Ye is clearly at that point, just from the fact that, you know, when you're posting, like, from the heart stuff straight onto the internet for everybody to see, it's like, you know, most people most of the time just clear-headedly think, yeah, I would never fucking do that, you know? And Ye,
you have experience
clear-headedly
with this,
would not do
this.
That. Yes.
You've done this, though. How
I've never been as bad in a down bad sense as Ye is here, where I, like, I've said embarrassing things on the internet.
Sure.
I've gotten into fights
you have?
With people.
You? No.
But, like, I don't know. I don't think I've been, the kinds of things that Ye is saying, whatever I relate to out of it is stuff I would never say. Because I would never be in such a manic mind state that I couldn't stop myself from tweeting that. Like, from recognizing that this is not something you should tweet. Like,
sure.
I may have said a lot of things that come off as unhinged to other people, but to me are more calculating compared to what I would say if I was actually out of control. Like,
right.
If I was out of control, the stuff I would say would be harder to relate to than Ye's feelings, because I am not as broadly normal of a person as Ye in terms of, like, you know, having, he's just been around a lot of people and worked with lots of people and is able to connect with people, obviously, because his music is extremely popular. You know, I'm not on that level of, like, thinking that my most intense emotions would go over well, or that people would see my side or, like, want to support me necessarily, you know? Like, whereas Ye, there's lots of people who, again, hate Pete Davidson, totally get where Ye's coming from, aren't gonna feel like they don't, like, everybody, again, can follow this narrative and gets it. And I think that's what makes it powerful and why it's so worthy of talking about, is that, like, emotionally we can connect with what these people are going through. It's just the fact that they would present it to us that makes them unrelatable. That's the only thing that makes you go, like, how can you possibly show?
I guess that's why
this?
I relate to it. Like, yeah. I more relate to it, obviously, being like a crazy bipolar schizoid boy. If Mint and I broke up, I would spend all day, like, fucking with whoever she was with, right? Like, I think I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's me overestimating my potential for doing bad, where I'm like, oh, I'm a psychopath, because I hate the people who are like, oh, I'm a sociopath, like, that's a personality trait. Like, oh, yeah, I would do bad if I was in the opportunity to do so.
Maybe I wouldn't.
I understand why Kanye is being so open about it, though, because it's the only way to beat Pete Davidson. Or, like, because, okay, look, Pete Davidson is the exact kind of celebrity that Hillary Clinton is, and, like, he's so private about his personal life.
Right.
You have to, like, sneak photos of him. And, like,
well,
for obvious skeet.
I think there's a clear connection there. I think the reason he is like that has something to do with Hillary Clinton. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't think you can just be involved with her that way, as such as to be her young boyfriend or whatever the fuck he might have been. Her weird little fuckboy.
I'll get to that because I think I have that screenshot. So after the Billie Eilish thing, Kanye West puts on Instagram, he writes on a piece of paper instead of making this a text message, and then takes a picture of it and uploads it. And that's how, like that's manic-ist Kanye,
yep.
is when he's not even typing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, manic Kanye is typos,
yeah.
but manic-ist Kanye is like, I'm just going to write this down.
Yeah.
And then take a photo of it.
Yeah.
He says, just so everyone knows, Cuddy will not be on Donda because he's friends with you-know-who. We all speak in Billy language now. So, this is Kanye asserting that she was dissing Travis,
yeah.
just not saying she was dissing Travis. And her response was, I literally said nothing about Travis Scott, which is kind of not the same as I like Travis Scott
right.
and I support him. They're different sentiments.
I get how this happened. Like, again, this is another case of like, I know people who think like this. Like, we know these types of schizos who like take everything as an affront and like
yeah.
even the slightest suggestion that you could, anything that could be suggestive of a problem with someone is, and anything other than outright declaring that it's not is, you know, it continues to be. It's like, unless you apologize, then you have insulted me, even if it's just due implication that's barely visible. And Ye is clearly in that headspace with Billie Eilish to the point of damaging friendships with other people who have nothing the fuck to do with it over that.
Yeah.
That's, like, for him to put Cuddy in the position of having to have an anti-Billie Eilish stance over Ye's schizophrenically perceived idea that, and this is not an insult to Ye, schizophrenia is hard to
right.
deal with, but I know it when I see it, you know? Yeah, I relate to this aspect of it, I get it, I've seen things that I thought, like, oh, that could be a dig at me, but, like, if it's not... And I'm going
right.
to wait till I can at least, you know,
yeah, like
maybe...
Perceiving ill intent, personally,
at,
is, like, super...
At the very least, wait till you can fucking confront the person in person about it. And be like, hey, remember that time you did this? Like, what was that about? You know? And then, like,
yeah,
kind of
they could call each other.
Measure their response based on that, you know? Like, you don't have to like them as a person. You can develop... Like, you could build a case file against Billie Eilish on the basis of this to decide you don't like her or present a case against her. But, like, to just take this one thing and expect everyone to be on your side about it, in like, you know, in your camp. You're talking about one of the most, like, successful young female, which, you know, Ye has a history of getting in trouble with bashing on young, successful female white artists, you know. Billie
yeah.
is in a very Taylor Swift-esque position in culture right now, as you know, to compared to where Taylor was then. For him to come after Billie in this way, it's just going to look like, you know, you, like...
Yeah.
Not to
yeah.
say that nobody should be coming after these, you know, these people necessarily. I don't know. Nobody needs to come.
Look,
what am I
never
even saying?
I never blamed Travis Scott for Astroworld. And I don't think a lot of people actually do either, but I think that
no.
some artists are in a precarious position where they feel like they have to pretend to.
Mm-hmm.
Events go wrong. I don't, and it's way, way more.
But it, honestly,
to
Travis
the discredit
Scott,
of the staff.
Travis
than,
Scott
of
deserves
the
flack for his response to it. For every, you know, like it's
sure.
far, like I think
his
the
PR
idea,
was bad.
I think the idea you have to retaliate over someone like making fun of him is preposterous. It's like he didn't do something great, you know. Like his, even if she was actually making fun of Travis Scott, he deserved it. You know, like
that's fair.
He deserved that
sure.
poke, particularly that poke. That because you know, and
yeah, we help people here. We stop the show. We help people here.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, I've seen people make a strong case that Travis Scott, in general, historically, has tried to make his shows go off the rails. Like he wants his show to be fucking crazy. He's like telling the crowd to riot, basically, at a lot of his shows. And there are tons of other examples of people who, you know, have shut down an entire show because they got any kind of signal that something was amiss. You know, so
yeah,
it definitely seems like he could have possibly done something. Clearly didn't want to, didn't understand what the consequences were going to be, and then in the aftermath of it was kind of like, well, you know, whatever, it is what it is, I'm going to move on, and people
right.
were like...
And people didn't want him to.
Yeah. And so, like, to me, it's certainly not a super defensible position he's in. It's not something where I would be like, oh, I don't think he deserves to lose all his sponsorships necessarily over it or whatever.
Look, I'm not going to an Astroworld ever.
Right.
That's the consequence.
I wouldn't go to anything like to me, going to a festival.
I wouldn't go to a Travis Scott, like, Astroworld performance. But I would still go to Coachella, even if he's there. And I think that's what, like, Ye's kind of really upset about, is, like, him and Billy were both supposed to do Coachella, and then he's like, I'm bringing Travis with me. Mm-hmm. So you gotta remember the, like, interpersonal politics.
It'd be one thing if Billie Eilish was like, I'm not gonna do Coachella because Travis Scott's there. Then you have a fight. You know?
I agree. That's totally different. That Kanye is, like, preempting a fight that isn't there. I do agree with that. But then he creates a real fight with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Like Neil Young with Spotify.
Yeah. Yes. That's a whole thing I would have talked about if we had recorded this episode last week. You know what? It's good to have a podcast. Now we can start talking about things that happen and giving our opinions and takes on them.
Because that's not just waiting to get us all in trouble as soon as anything political happens.
No. It's actually a good thing, and there's no consequences to us working together.
Now that you've
every
mentioned
time we work
politics.
Together, we all make money.
Now that you've mentioned politics, Russia has officially invaded Ukraine.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
yes,
like
it has
as
happened.
As we were recording?
30 minutes ago.
So, yeah,
okay.
it's happening. We started a podcast and an invasion happened.
Let it be known that my official views on Russia is that it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Russia.
Seconded.
My official
views...
Isn't
it a bunch of caves?
Yeah, it's just people
it's
in
a mountain.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all in mountains like Bird. Bird might be in Russia right now. That's where he teleported to.
I'm in Finland.
Matter was displaced... And it caused a rock to fall in the road and hit a Ukrainian. And that's why the invasion has happened. Violence erupted because Bird displaced some rocks in a mountain in Russia.
Damn it, Bird.
The
be more careful
effect.
Next time.
Yeah,
I'm sorry for starting a Russian invasion.
Every episode, Bird will cause something terrible to happen. And we'll tell you guys how. The Birdfly effect. So Kid Cudi responds to Kanye's Instagram post. And says, because he's like, you're not on Donda 2. Kid Cudi's not on Donda, everybody. Cudi responds and says, too bad I don't want to be on your album, you fucking dinosaur. Ha 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 ha, smiley face.
Is he calling him old?
Yeah, everyone knows I've been the best thing about your albums since I met you. I'm going
to
pray for you,
brother.
Black peace emoji. Black peace out emoji. First of all, they're 4 years apart.
Yeah, hasn't Cudi been around almost exactly as long as Kanye West?
Old people call each other old, fat people call each other fat.
I'm sure he's more calling him that about his mentality, though, right? Like, Ye has called himself a dinosaur in his mentality. I think when I'm trying to be more like George Jetson, but thinking like George Jefferson, you know?
Right.
He knows.
Well, in this beef specifically, Cudi's like, yeah, I'm picking Billie Eilish over you. So the dinosaur thing is contextualized in that, right?
For sure.
Like, you're a dinosaur.
Cudi,
I'm working with Billie
Eilish. I would be more excited to hear Cudi and Billie together than another Ye and Cudi track. Yeah. That would be good. His voice would sound good on one of them beats, them skeletal-ass beats.
Agreed. So after this happens, McDonald's announces their Kanye collab, and it's Kanye driving a big-ass Cybertruck-looking thing through the McDonald's drive-thru. Cudi tweets out, totally independently replying to... So Cudi's, you know, obviously this has got Cudi affected. Mm. So Cudi tweets out, We talked weeks ago about this. You're whack for flipping the script and posting this lie just for a look on the internet. You ain't no friend. Bye. And it's like, okay. Then Kanye posts the Civil War meme.
United
we stand, divided
cute.
We fall. Okay. The
you
Kanye
divided
West.
Yourselves, though, Kanye. You did that. There was nothing standing between Ye and Cudi until he put Billie Eilish between them, and Cudi had nothing to do with that. I guess they had talked about it at some point, so I guess Ye took it as, well, you didn't take my side after that conversation, so fuck you. I don't know.
Right.
Again,
and so at
down
this
bad
point,
spiral.
This is where the down bad spiraling comes back. At this point, Kanye needs a distraction on Instagram. So he posts, look at this dickhead. I wonder if Instagram gonna shut down my page for dissing Hillary Clinton's sex boyfriend. And then he just posts a bunch of pictures of them together on his Instagram.
So yeah, Hillary Clinton, Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson has a tattoo of Hillary Clinton. Let me read that Instagram caption.
Look, I don't know how to describe this. This is a difficult thing for me to put into words.
Sure.
I think we all understand on some level, Pete Davidson has a look about him. He is a weird looking dude.
Rat.
And it's not in a bad way. I think he's handsome. I understand what ladies see in Pete Davidson.
A handsome rat.
I do not.
I think
his hair is weird.
His hair? Well, he can change his hair.
He has like Guy Fieri hair, but like
the hair Fieri. Is good.
It's Fieri.
I wouldn't prefer the hair he chooses, but you know, I think he's a good looking dude, but in such a weird and particular way.
Sure.
That like he's a unique specimen in that way. Like it's like unconventional handsomeness where like you could see the elements of stuff that is obviously good looking, but then there's stuff that's so weird that you're like, well, that I've never seen anyone who quite looks like this before. And so that's
he
a little
off-putting. He looks like the ferret from Back in the Barnyard.
I don't know what that is.
That's what he looks like.
He looks like Remy from Ratatouille.
Yeah, there you go. Look.
But yeah, he's a weird looking dude, and it puts me in a position to think like if he's been scouted from like a young age, he just seems like the type who would get like, you know, rung through the rich pedophile rings. Like,
here's the theory. The government did 9/11 so they could take orphans that they created, like Pete Davidson, and bring them into the upper echelons of society.
That's what it is. It's the 9/11 because, stuff. His dad died in 9/11.
Yeah. His dad died in 9/11.
It's something he's been able to talk about forever. So, like, it does make me think, you know, the government maybe talked to this guy early on, you know, got involved with him because of his history. I don't know. He looks like... He just looks like he would be Hillary Clinton's boy toy. Like, he looks like exactly who you know she would want to fuck. And so it's so fucking funny that it seems to be true. Because it's like... It's so easy to picture. It's just
right,
so
like, or
easy.
Or that, like, you need... Like, Ye had to say it. Like, I never
yeah.
knew this about
nobody
him
knew.
About it.
Well, obviously, nobody wanted you to... Nobody wants
well,
you to think
you're
about...
Now you look at his Instagram and it's obvious. Trixie, listen...
And nobody thinks Hillary
Instagram
Clinton's
post.
Not fucking around. Like,
Pete Davidson posted this and said, wanted to get at Hillary Clinton a Christmas gift, so I got a tattoo of my hero. Thanks for being such a badass and
Jesus
one of the strongest
Christ.
People in the universe. Blue heart emoji. Hillary said, thanks, Pete Davidson. This makes it significantly less awkward that I've had a Pete Davidson tattoo for years. But seriously, I'm honored. Merry Christmas, my friend. They're fucking. Like, is
yeah.
that... Kanye told us, yeah. but this is old. We should know this.
I just think Pete Davidson probably knows things that nobody yeah. can ever fucking know.
He's an op.
And he will take those things to the grave.
Like where all
can.
That cheese
Look,
is.
This gets more dire. We gotta keep going down this timeline. Okay.
Like, who could, like, what would, okay, think about it. Like, Mac yeah. Miller, yay. These are similar kinds of people, in a way.
These are thought leaders.
Yeah, these
inspirations
are...
Inspirations that break out of the standard of the music industry, and they're being attacked by an inside operative with government connections.
And
well, like,
cheese.
Who would you, if you were one of these, if you were Ariana Grande or Kim Kardashian, like... You are looking for someone who's... They have to be a billionaire to even talk to you because that's the level of, like, protection you need as a human being. Is like, you need billionaire class, like, you know, understanding from the people around
sure.
you.
Millionaire class.
Yeah.
Whoa, right? Whoa. We're not trying to get this podcast shut down the first episode.
Wait,
yeah.
Come on now.
I'm just saying, where do you go?
Hey. Any billionaires listening, buy me a truck.
I'm pro-billionaire.
It'll pay off. I'm pro-billionaire. I love you. Buy me a truck. The Rivian R1T, it looks really cool. It's $80,000. Buy me a truck.
This will be a bit, I'm guessing, that will return.
Someone buy Bert a truck.
Yes, please.
A Rivian R1T, please.
I'm keeping this goddamn podcast on the track, on the road.
Look, I'm just
the
saying...
road that Bird's truck will be on.
Hey, that truck's got the legs to go the distance, I'll tell you what.
So
Pete Davidson is the next step up from being, like, rich and famous in that he's protected by the government.
And
it's like a new stage. It's like you're getting involved in a different, you know...
What's the cheese thing?
He's a rat.
Because he thinks he looks like a rat.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just the my theory is just simply that, you know, with Ye and with Mac Miller, you had this risk of the depression, the suicide, the constant, like, are you going to fuck up our, like, all the stuff you've built that I'm trying to rely on? Pete Davidson's like, I will never fuck up anything. I can't. They will assassinate me. Like, I will never fuck up the money.
Because
that would mean, like,
he understands
selling government secrets, you know? Like,
yeah.
Exactly. That's my theory.
Okay. I like that theory. So we go further down the timeline now. During this spam of photos of Pete, we get the Cuddy thing brought back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He posts a picture, and it's a picture of him out to dinner, and there's four people in the picture. It's Kanye. I actually don't know who that is and next to him. Then it's Kid Cudi. And then it's Pete Davidson.
Mm.
Okay? And there's a big red X over Pete Davidson's face. And it makes you think, like, okay, this is Kanye's fault. They all, at one point, knew each other and were friends.
Mm.
Kanye's caption is, I just wanted my friend to have my back. The knife just goes in deeper.
This isn't a surprise to me. I mean, I do think... In these circles, like, you know, it's always going to be some... I'm just thinking about, like, Dick going home with 80s girl who used to be with Maddox, you know? Like, it's like, yeah, you're
famous
in the same...
Famous story.
You're in the same
like
cliques,
Helen of Troy.
You know? It's...
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of people... Like, if you have friends who are, like, a better version of what you're doing, then that's, like, the most natural next choice for your girl, right? I don't know. Seems like...
Sure, like if you're a celebrity, you date another more secure celebrity after
who
that.
You've already, like, known. Like,
who you know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like,
okay,
she obviously would have... Anybody who she would have known would have had to have been friends with Ye, is basically what I'm trying to say. It's like...
No, yeah, of course.
You know, like they would have all been in the same circle, yeah.
So, then Kanye posts an Instagram screenshot of text message from Kim. And the text message says, "You are creating a dangerous and scary environment, and someone
that was the one,
and this will be your fault." And he said, "Upon my wife's request, please nobody do anything physical to Skeet. I'm gonna handle this situation myself."
The message of Kim, first of all, Ye is just openly sharing DMs from his ex on the internet, so. Already, I don't even know if he understands, like, the position he's putting himself in when he does stuff like that, of, like, breaching her privacy to, you know...
This is something you haven't even really done.
No, I wouldn't. Like, it's...
You haven't done that.
It's stupid and bad. Like, I haven't done...
And you have a pretty fucking funny ex-girlfriend to leak of.
I haven't done anything. Except for retaliate mostly against her new boyfriend for things that he was trying to do to me. I've not tried to start any shit because I don't want shit. I just don't understand. Like, I don't know what Ye thinks he's going to get out of this. I don't know what the, you know, like, he's not getting Kim back through this, certainly. I don't know if he's trying to shame Pete Davidson or do something for his own honor. I don't see an end goal in any of this down bad spiral.
Okay. Let me give you some genius context. I'll give you a genius annotation from having watched the first episode of that documentary. And there's a moment where one of the artists that Kanye is working with, I don't want to spoil it for you, but one of the artists that Kanye is working with feels slighted. And so, like, makes a song where he mentions, like, a diss on Ye.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ye, within 24 hours, Ye and, like, a group of people pull up on this dude.
Oh, shit.
Like, very, like, hey, we're all here to talk to you about this.
Yeah.
And you can't leave until I'm okay with the conversation.
Damn.
So, I mean, he's doing that, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, these guys are all...
He's intense.
Some degree of more of a thug than most people are.
Right.
The thuggish, because that's how you... these are people who demand attention and respect.
Yes. Yes, and that is the part that is difficult for me to relate to. I've never tried to command respect more so than anything. Like, I guess just because
I only want people to disrespect me.
I've just never had that ability to make people to be able to command respect. You know, I'm small and shrimpy and weird and not very loud or intense of a person. So you know, I would never, couldn't even possibly fucking imagine going to that extent. Like, I get dissed by people all the time, and I just am like, oh, that sucks, you know? And, like, there have been people I've, there have obviously been people I've clapped back at, especially if I was really hurt by it, whatever they had said. And a lot of those people I've made up with in similar ways to how Ye will, you know, sometimes people will, long distance patch it up where they put out the tweet that's like, yo, I'm sorry about whatever, and then, they're all cool. You know, I've had all that kind of stuff too. So I get it to some degree, but the idea of rolling up on somebody, because they lightly, you know, dissed you in a track, I just couldn't even believe. I would never see it as you could say anything about me. I would never say it was an incitement to violence or to threaten you or to tell you to take it back. You know, I will argue against what you're saying if I think you're wrong, you know, but it's not like you need to take that back because, you know, either you respect me or there's going to be problems. You know, I'd rather, you don't respect me. Well, we're not going to communicate anymore. You know, I'll be out of your hair.
What about you, man?
I guess I would say I'm similar. It's more I feel that if someone isn't respecting me, then I'll just flat out to say what I think they're doing that is disrespectful, and then it's up to them to continue the conversation or not, and mm-hmm. if it's necessary for me to still be around them, I'll still communicate with them. I will treat it as if nothing has happened, but it's on them to repair the gap, the weird communication shit. I honestly don't care.
Yeah. And Bird, what color truck did you want?
Green. I really like green. The Rivian R1T actually comes in a very lovely shade of green, and the interior, one of the ones you can get, it's vegan leather, which is very nice, and it's
vegan
green.
Vegan leather?
Yeah, vegan leather. Isn't that nice? Go environment, even though I eat
steak
all the time.
Buy him a gay
truck
if you're and listening and you're
one
billionaire.
Of the interiors, it's like a brown and green interior.
Or even a millionaire, or even a couple hundred thousandaire,
right.
You know,
right,
whatever.
You
can
just be a couple
I'm asking for $90,000 for this truck.
Yeah.
Here I am once again asking for $90,000 for the presidential election. So we get to a point in this story where Kanye does do the wrap it up, apologize thing. And I think this is the message that he posted on Instagram before deleting all of the other stuff from his Instagram.
Oh, no.
So I wasn't screaming beforehand, but all of those Instagram posts were all captions by Kanye. Kanye West posts, "I've learned that using all caps makes people feel like I'm screaming at them. I'm working on my communication. I can benefit from a team of creative professionals, organizers, mobilizers, and community leaders. Thank everybody for supporting me. I know sharing screenshots was jarring and came off as harassing Kim. I take accountability."
That's good.
"I'm still learning in real time. I don't have all the answers. To be a good leader is to be a good listener." So he posted that and deleted everything.
If you want to diagnose someone with bipolar, just count how often they delete everything on their social media account.
Hey, we're not talking about me.
That is a good metric. Wow, I never thought about that.
If someone regularly, every once in a blue moon, deletes everything they have. Manic episode, and in this particular one, there's obviously a moment of clarity here, and I kind of get, I've been manic. You do kind of unlock higher executive function than normal, where you can kind of very quickly make adjustments to the way you're behaving because you are trying to hone a sense of self that you're going to go forward with, and it's okay, I've been stripped bear, like, what do I need to clothe myself with? And so you just, like, start shouting, and then, like, everything people tell you, like, it sounds like you're yelling because your caps. Okay, let me fix that. Okay, you shouldn't have screen capped this stuff. That's doxing. All right, well, I've just learned this new lesson. You know, he's, like, literally telling you the things that he's constructing in his mind that built him up to a point of feeling like, all right, I think I'm ready to go in this direction, and I'm making an authoritative statement about it and all that. But, like, it's kind of like a bridge to nowhere, because for us as viewers, it's like we see him make this announcement, and then it kind of just cuts to silence, and then, like, okay, well, whatever Ye does next is whatever Ye does next, whether it has any real connection to what we just heard there. Because that was so the product of, like, where he's at that day. You know,
right.
And what will that mean for tomorrow is hard to know, because new things are constantly happening and unraveling for him to react to. So, like,
but yeah, we know what happened tomorrow 4 days ago.
Oh, perfect.
He announced that the Donda 2 will only be available on his own platform, the Stim Player, not on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or YouTube. Today, artists get just 12% of the money the industry makes. It's time to free music from this oppressive system. It's time to take control and build your own. Go to stimplayer.com now to order, he put on Instagram.
How long do you think it will only be on this thing?
Until someone re-uploads it off of their Donda.
I don't even mean... I mean officially. Cause, like,
oh, week? Weeks? When he put The Life of Pablo on Tidal exclusively, it was to help Jay-Z launch his platform.
Right.
And it was exclusive for like a month and a half, I think.
Yeah.
So that's your max, probably. I bought three Dondas. I bought three Dondas. Of them. I have three Dondas.
Donda, Donda, Donda.
So, if you're listening to this and you don't have three Donda Stim Players, don't worry, you only need one of them to hear the new album. And if you only have one Donda Stim Player, you're doing just fine. You're like, you know, you probably have like a minimum wage job and maybe a mid to slightly attractive significant other, right? But if you don't have any Donda Stim Players, then I'm not sure what you're doing with your life.
A Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro would be good too, but, you know, a Rivian preferably.
It only costs like 12 Donda Stim Players or so.
Yeah, the product we're talking about today is Donda Stim Player Bird.
You can trade.
When is Kanye making... When is Ye making a car?
That is actually a worthwhile question.
Ye and Elon should collab on a Tesla Yeezus. Oh, like a Tesla Yeezus. It's like a Prius, but it's for Yeezy.
Yeah, I like it. Or the Yaris, like a Yaris, but a Yaris.
The
Yaris.
The Yaris.
The Tesla Yaris.
So then okay, so here's a fun little sub-arc we've got now. After that happened, he started focusing totally on promoting Donda 2. If you want to know Trixie's opinion on Donda 1, go check out our What You Reviewin' channel, link in the description, because she has reviewed that.
Yeah, the conceit of the review is that Donda is a 7 out of 10 album, which is a 5 for a Ye album, because there are Ye albums that I like would say there are other Ye albums that I would probably say are like a 7 out of 10, but a better Ye album, like maybe Yeezus. I don't love Yeezus, but like Black Skinhead I'd take over probably anything on Donda. Like there's just nothing all that memorable on it. It's like a bunch
of
Stim
Player
songs.
Is gonna make Donda really, really good to me, because I can take out all the features. Okay, here's my take on Donda. It's a good album, but the amount of good that you can get out of it is directly connected to the amount of give a shit you feel towards Kanye West's personal life and family history and his own personal struggles. Every feature is a jarring disconnect from that, like, narrative.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be billed that way as, like, the Donda. Like the way it is, like, this is the album dedicated to my mom about my family falling apart right now and how sorry I am for all of it and how much I believe in God and things can get better. But then every feature is, like, totally disconnected, pretty much, except for the Fevio feature. Like on Hurricane, having any of the babies on a Kanye West song hits wrong with me. I don't want Lil Baby. I don't want DaBaby. Okay, I don't want another baby named
It feels like
rapper.
I think Ye stopped like curating the same way that he used to, the people he collaborates with. Where like, you know, there's, you expect to hear on an album other rappers who are kind of in the same lane, or at the very least who like would be interesting specifically in that spot on the album.
Yeah.
And Ye is like, I can work with anyone. So like, he's looking for a place to slot all the hottest people and all the most like influential. I think that's what he's really looking for, is like, I want anybody who's influential and who's going to be talked about in a few years to like be on my stuff. But they just, he doesn't find an interesting place for them. It's like he wants them more than he has an idea for what to do with them, in a way.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, The Weeknd is great on Hurricane, but Hurricane is a good song without The Weeknd. We know because we've had four versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't need The Weeknd or Lil Baby. A big thing that you're right about, when you say that Kanye kind of like, he picks talented people but then puts them in weird places. He recently Instagrammed out that, it's interesting, he must just not be allowed to use Twitter anymore or some shit, so he's using Instagram the same way. But he Instagrammed out that Jack Harlow is top five out right now, and then like that night Jack Harlow like posted some pictures of him in Miami.
Right.
Like, he went right to Miami to presumably be on Donda. They took a picture together recently, so like, he's on Donda. But other than that, the announced features are like Travis Scott, French Montana. It's going to be produced by Future, like co-produced by Future, and Drake's going to be on it. So it's like,
yeah,
this Donda 2 is going to be fucking weird. He has flipped his allegiances with everybody.
I'm just
like,
picturing,
at this point
like,
in his career, he's going to work with Drake and Future, but Kid Cudi and Chance the Rapper don't fuck with him.
I really like, think the thing that fucks with me about all this is that like, for Ye, all of these allegiances and these choices he's making are so emotional, and they can't be for the people involved. Like, where, like, for Jack Harlow, like, is Ye gonna put him on the spot and ask, how do you feel about Billie Eilish when he walks into his house? Probably not.
Right.
But, like, if he did, what's Jack gonna say? Like, ah, yeah, fuck Billie Eilish, you know? Like obviously, he's going to say whatever's going to continue him working with Ye, because he doesn't give a fuck at all about this conflict. And then when asked later, if Ye says, oh, Jack had my back against Billie, then Jack's going to be like, you know, I just said whatever. Like, it's just, there can't be any weight to this for the other people involved in the conflict other than, like, all right, I guess I'm on Ye. I guess I get to be on this album because I didn't happen to end up in a situation where I had to be Ye's enemy, you know?
It feels like it has the potential to be really good, the same way that My Beautiful Dark and Twisted Fantasy was really good, which sucks for Ye. Like, I don't want that. I don't want artists to have to suffer every time they make an album in order to make good music, but I think that the music that Ye makes when he blows up his life like this is generally better.
I didn't love The Life of Pablo personally. That was like him at his lowest in a way. So that didn't do a lot for me.
Yeah, you think that was him at his lowest? I kind of view that as like the redemption arc, which is kind of what I'm talking about. Like if that's his redemption arc, and Jesus is King is his redemption arc, and you
I
know,
just remember Life of Pablo coming like, not long after he had like bankrupted himself doing that fashion show.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think that was the result of the lifestyle of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and Life of Pablo was his, like, coming to Christ.
Right.
Like, look, I'm gonna tell you about all the things I fucked up when I was doing all this stuff from that album.
Yeah.
To sort of reflect on it, but it's a declaration that I'm gonna do better, I'm gonna try harder, I believe in God, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna stand by my wife, and I'll never leave her. And then you've got Ye comes out, and it's, you know, she wouldn't leave, and sentiments like this. And then you, so Life of Pablo has Wolves, which is the beginning of, like, sort of addressing that he is trying to live a life of Christ while married to Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
What if Mary was in the club before Joseph, hella thugs? Like, would that make her less of a person to Joseph? Like, that's the philosophical debate Kanye wants to bring up in your brain. When he compares himself to Kim, and then wouldn't leave is him being so sure that she's not going to leave him, but I thought about killing you is some Eminem Kim territory shit. And then from there, he goes deeper into Christianity, which his deepness to a lot of people feels like an ascent towards correctness. But he's going deeper and deeper into this thing that helps him kind of cope with the fact that he married Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And that, like, he, no matter what he does, he can't get Kris Jenner and Kim to help him, like, pull his kids off the... Is Kris the mom? Right?
Yeah, Kris is the mom.
Okay, yeah, he can't get them to take the kids off fucking the show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Mm. He doesn't want his kids raised on TV. And he's been battling that, so he had to, like, do the Wyoming thing to pull his family away from that.
Right.
And even it didn't work. And with Donda, it's interesting because his marriage has already fallen apart. As of today, he still won't sign the divorce papers. But when Donda came out, the marriage had fallen apart. One of the Donda live performances is their wedding recreated and burning down around Kanye while he walks around in a fireproof suit. Around his burning marriage, so he knows it's burning down. The B-side that's not included on Donda is the song Never Abandon Your Family, where he's like, again, sort of, it's not called projection, right? Because he's not like, he's not professing something he's not trying to do.
Right.
But he is like saying a bunch of stuff like, hey, you gotta like never abandon your family. But it's like while Kim is abandoning him or whatever, or like while his family is abandoning him. Presumably. Tragic. And he's doing all this. He's making this album at the Falcons, like, sports arena in a concrete room. That's why it's mixed poorly. And everybody complains about the mixing of the album. He is selling you a stem player that lets you mix the album yourself, if you want.
Yeah, I didn't catch until a little bit into this conversation that you're talking about a player that literally lets you play individual stems from the album.
That's what stem player is.
That is really neat.
Yes, well, not only that. Okay, so what the stem player does is it lets you control the sample track, the drum track, the instrument track, and the vocal track independently. And obviously with Kanye's products, they're perfect.
Yeah.
But you can also upload through the website other songs.
Huh.
And the Donda stem player website interface will go through and it'll basically like figure out how to isolate which one is what. And then upload that onto your Donda, and then you can play Toto by Africa just without, like, you can turn the drums down.
Fascinating.
Like, yes, it works on other songs.
That sounds well worth the money.
I got a few of them, I got a few of them because people on Twitter kept complaining about how expensive they were, and I was like, what if I just got a couple?
Right.
What if I got three of them?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I like that attitude.
The most important feature.
That's all right.
The skin feeling.
The skin feeling? Oh, yeah, it's flesh tone. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Is this a physical device?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like a little...
It's a $200...
Like
Yeah.
Neat.
But anyway, so I like that feeling that you're going with buying three of them. Now just apply it to my truck.
To your truck. Eventually, we'll get to that scale where you'll have said, I want a truck so many times in an episode that I'll have to find a way to give you a truck.
And how many times would that be?
I don't know. But I'm sure you'll find it eventually.
I think this idea has legs and that it can go the distance.
Yeah. So the Donda stem player, first of all, let's talk about like the point of it as a direct-to-consumer model for the music industry. People are mad right now that it's like $200, but it's $200 because it's a $200 like Bluetooth speaker that plays individual parts of the song out loud. It's also a drum pad and a loop kit. Like, you can loop your shit, you can save it and export different remixes.
It does sound like it has legs. I don't know if it can go the distance. But mostly because I don't know if most people can understand the value of...
Well, he's just not going to let them not understand the value of it. Seems like, anyway. Like, he'll just keep... If he just releases his music to this thing, and he, like... You know, he gets Travis to do the long-awaited Utopia via the Donda player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or he gets, like... Like, hey, Kendrick.
Right.
Hey, Kendrick, release your album on the Donda.
It is a big part of it is the amount of money you're willing to throw down.
So the device is $200, but the website and the app are going to let you just, like, get the album.
I meant to buy
it through that.
I meant the company, how much money he's willing to throw at other people to... to release exclusively to his device. I was listening to the Tim Dillon podcast recently. It's the only episode I had ever listened to because he was talking about Substack and how the people from Substack like met with him at a cafe to discuss business and were basically just like trying to ask him to use their platform exclusively. And he was just like, well, what are you going to pay me? And they like hadn't thought about it. And I'm like, right. It definitely made me, like, listening to him describe it was a big oof to me as a person who uses Substack and who hopes for Substack, where I was like, how could they be so fucking stupid? Like, how are you going to walk up to one of the most successful comedians on social media and just ask them? And they didn't just, like, they wanted him to literally exclusively use Substack. That's insane. Like, that would be $1 million offer, I would think, to start with, to, you know, maybe more than that. I don't know how much money, you know, it takes to make Greenspin in Tim Dillon's eyes, but obviously, you have to pay him to even use it. Not even to exclusively use it, but to even use it, I would think. You would have to throw some money on the table. It's just such awful negotiating that it made me think, like, I don't know if this company is going to have a future unless they understand and, like, listen to this and understand how dumb they seem, you know, for this interaction.
So I think the thing with Ye is that it'll be less like him having to – obviously there'll be money flying around.
Yeah.
And that's the point, is so the artists get paid more. He posted a diagram of it, basically, that explains like how he's going to replace the antiquated label and studio model. So this is the way he proposes. Obviously, this is all working within model for Kanye. This is what he proposes is how it works and what he wants to do. So the system as it is, an artist supplies music to a company like EMI, Universal, etc., the studio. They supply music to Apple or Spotify or whatever. They supply that music to the listener. Then the listener gives money to Spotify, Apple, whatever.
Yeah.
That money goes back to the record labels. And then that money gets split to the artists. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the diagram has a nifty little 3 bags going from the listener to the music streaming platform. 2 bags from the platform to the label.
Right.
And then from the label to the artist, 1 bag. Ye's model is artist puts music on the Donda. Donda gives music to the user. And then the user bag splittage is 2 to Donda, 3 to artist.
Okay. Right? So
that's the way he envisions this working.
So he's Donda's like, taking 40%. And if I, as an individual artist, like, because it's interesting, it's competing with like a label system, because there's also people who don't have that label middleman who, you know, release to streaming platforms. I have some friends who, you know, who are very small, like they're not very large artists and they're independent, who release only through, you know, the major streaming plats and make enough money to sustain themselves even off of, like, very low amount of views. Just
the 12% because, they get now.
Right, because it's not being split among, you know, to they don't have a label that's taking off that huge amount off the top. And and additionally, like, you know, with the streaming services, with someone like Ye, like, his stuff's getting played on everywhere all the time. Like, I feel like there's... For major artists, when your music is being released, even like unofficially, like just everywhere, it's really hard to track how it's actually making money and like, you know, like what you could do to make it so there's more traffic is legally streaming it or whatever. You know, like, how do I actually get all the money out of the people who are buying my service? Whereas like on a really small level, it's more like, all right, 10 people listen to me. You know, can I give them something that'll make them give me $100 instead of 10? And that's like how I'm going to sustain.
Or $100,000.
You know? Or $100,000 instead of 100.
For a truck.
Yeah. For a truck. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it just makes me think, like, who is this service that Ye is making? Like, who is it mostly trying to appeal to? Because if you're a small-time artist, there's no way you can release solely to a extremely restrictive platform. Like,
well, he's not offering it to small artists. Yeah.
So he's offering it to big artists who have a late or who are maybe trying to escape
a
label.
Okay, we don't even know if he's offering it to anyone.
That's true.
Everything I've told you is just like what he has posted.
Yeah.
We don't know, like, everything that we take from that is just us making shit up, right?
Yeah.
Like, presuming he wants other artists on there. Maybe the Donda in this demographic is supposed to just be like a replacement for whatever your app, like, make your own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody should have their own thing. Travis Scott should have the Astroworld speaker.
Like, see, he's by no means the first artist to try to do something like that.
Well, Nipsey sold a $100 mixtape, and everybody told him it was crazy, and it sold out immediately.
I think Nipsey's method was more honest than most people's, because it was just an expensive album. He wasn't trying to tie it to something else, where, like, like the RZA and Shavo, the bassist from System of a Down, teamed up and did an album one time that they released exclusively with a speaker. It's just like a $115 little fucking, like, you know, speaker.
So Ye's not even the first one to do the, like, my album's on a speaker.
For sure, it's a thing. It's a very LA thing to do, where, like, there's lots of these sorts of boutiques. Boutique selling, where artists who have a legacy, who are kind of embedded in the LA area, will, you know, create these little limited run things that they can sell in LA because of their name recognition, you know, and the population density. So I think, like, with the RZA and Chavo's speaker thing, like, I don't think that thing ever appeared in stores or anything like that. It's probably something they were selling to people directly, you know. And these are the kinds of guys who, like, Chavo now owns a weed label, and he's, you know, deep into that world. It's just, like, another one of those things you can own and be a rich person in L.A. entrepreneur about, which is why I have a tendency to be really cynical about it, because, like, the question is, what are you going to use it for other than this one album? And, like, with Ye, there are people who are going to be like, yeah, of course I'd spend $200 on a Ye album. What are you fucking, like, if any of them, if you sell me a $200 version of any of these albums, I'll fucking buy it. But, like, there are so many different ways you could do that. As an anime fan, like, you know, I'm used to there be, or it, and as a gamer, there being a, you know, $200 version of the product that contains a bunch of bullshit little merch that costs nothing to make, that's just thrown in because, you know, again, people who have that level of excitement and have that income, it's not about, like, the, it's not about it being worth what you're paying for it. It's about just, like, pouring as much of yourself into it as you can. And Ye is giving you that opportunity on what it sounds like a different level from ever before, that you can fuck with the stems of the album, is actually pretty incredible. And, like,
it,
and it's...
No, it's legit. Like, I was talking to Cranberry Dave about it, and so I bought him one, too.
Yep.
And the point being so that he can, like, live produce rap beats for us. Or, like, he can take Hurricane Season, our album that everyone should go listen to, which I am going to re-upload to this channel soon, to the ASC Presents channel. Nice. Just so it's there, because it's currently on a channel that's being algorithmically suppressed.
Yeah.
But Dave can take our songs, he can split them into vocal, which is, like, our vocals.
Yeah.
Drums, sample, and instrument himself as a producer. And then he can load those in, and we can perfectly customize and loop and play Hurricane Season. We could play just the instrumental part out loud, and you and I could rap over it. Dave can make a remix real quick so that Dairon can rap on an extended 45-second loop version of it.
Like, it sounds awesome to me, because, like...
It's amazing.
The most influential...
It's so ahead of its ability. Like,
yeah.
It's hard for me to express it, because it's obviously not as good as, like, a... Like a really good beat pad.
Right.
Okay, like a fucking a DJ kit you gotta set up on a desk to use. But it is palm-sized, it's flesh-toned, and, like, feels, like people have described it, feels kind of like a sex toy. Like, it's just smooth. It's like, but it fits in your hand, like, perfectly, and the speaker is, like, good. Like, it's a decent, it's, like, a good speaker. It's got the 3.5mm jack, it's a Bluetooth. It's got 8 gigabytes of data, which people complain about, but is a ton for music. That's a ton of fucking storage. It's not supposed to play the Joe Rogan podcast video version for 6 days. It's supposed to play a few albums.
Yeah. I'm just excited at the thought of it, because, like, one of my favorite Ye moments ever is in Runaway, the video where he's just, like, jamming on the beat pad with all the different parts of Power. And, like... to me, like, when I watched him do that, I was like, yeah, I completely understand this man's whole career, because that looks like the most fun you could possibly have. It's just to sit there and, yeah, and make these cool sounds, you know, out of the beat.
Well, I could never imagine, like, doing it like him or clipping, like, where they can recreate it every time. Because mm-hmm. Ye is the type of dude who can, he can pull the Donda up and he can just play you, like, the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not quite, like, smart enough to live produce, like, a perfect beat over and over.
Uh-huh.
And, but this device makes it, like, so much closer to being able to do that.
Yeah. That's what sounds exciting about it. And what I would imagine Ye was trying to kind of democratize as an experience to more people would be, like,
that. Mix your own music. Like, play your own, like, Travis Scott songs.
Yeah.
Play your own, like, if you like Drake, but you don't want Andre 3K on the verse, like, you can just take him off now.
Right.
Like, just buy the album and then do whatever you want to it.
Man, I'm so excited to, with my stem player, produce my beats again.
Yeah.
Produce a lot more beats. It's been great.
Yeah. We gotta get Trixie and Bird a stem player.
Yeah, we do.
No, a truck. Sorry, you can get Trixie a stem player.
Put well, like I said, you can trade like 12 stem players towards the cost of one truck. So
that's the Kanye West news of it all. That's everything he's been doing.
The Ye cast.
Your rundown on the fucking stem player. This has been, this is our first episode of the new Void Gazers podcast. We have talked about Ye. We've talked about the
when I said Ye cast, I wasn't even thinking podcast. I was thinking forecast. Like, this is our Ye cast. Like, forecasting Ye's past, present, future.
Yeah, and we'll check back up on everything after we've all heard Donda 2, and I'll have you review that on what you're reviewing. All right, this is our first episode. Any other house cleaning you want to do, and like sort of like setting the tone for the future of these? We'll have segments, little bits here and there.
I think we set the tone well. It'll probably be a lot of me and Riley talking, and when they're around, Mint and Bird going, buy me a truck, and I'm going to cook some grilled cheese or whatever Mint's going to cook.
I'm the cook.
Mint's like, I'm a cook.
I'm the most cookest.
Why would you lead that way?
Because I cook more than Bird now.
Let's
admit, you don't cook better than me.
He cooks meat. I cook more things other than meat.
Here's a question I have to lead us out from each of you because of the time we're doing this, 6 o'clock. Mint first, then Bird. But what are you cooking after the show?
I'm cooking some queso with sausage, and it's going to be delicious with chips. I really like chip dip.
How are you making it?
In a pot.
Well, I mean, like, what are you doing to it? Are you melting cheese? Or are you going to add anything?
Oh, so I'm cooking the sausage first, and then I'm going to put some of this tomatoes and chili in a can, and I'm going to melt the cheese in that, and then I'm going to add some mozzarella cheese. And if you want to see the process of this, you can find this video on our Patreon at patreon.com/ASCPresents.
Yeah, $3 tier for ASC Daily. Mint puts all of her trad cooking on there to show all you other trad wives how it's done.
And you can suggest something for me to cook, and I'll cook it.
Meanwhile, if all you fag wives want to see how it's done, you can follow my content on I don't do any of the cooking. What's your cookist strategy for tonight?
Oh, I'm gonna take a chimney starter. I'm going to light it on fire. I'm going to put meat over the fire. And then we're going to eat the meat.
What kind of meat?
Hamburgers. We're having hamburgers.
Hey.
You're both so obtuse.
I know, right?
Eventually,
you're trying to be all mysterious. They can't just be like, yeah, I'm having burgers. It's going to be good. Like,
yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Wow, cool. High fives. So.
We'll check back in on how the two of you have gotten at talking after 200 episodes.
I'll be a lot better at talking once I have my truck.
I believe you, Bird. You're going to become a truck vlogger.
The only sound we're going to hear is...
No, it's an electric truck. It doesn't make that sound.
Right, the only sound we're going to hear is...
A Frisker go vroom vroom. Am I right?
Yeah.
Fiskers don't make noise when they start up.
Oh,
just so you know.
I didn't get that.
Okay. That has been the new Void Gazers podcast. Find Trixie on patreon.com/thegoldenwitch.
Golden Witch Fire. Golden Witch
Golden Witch Fire. patreon.com/goldenwitchfire. Like Mint said, check us out at patreon.com/ASEPresents. Hit like and subscribe and all that fun stuff. You can ask questions in the comments, and we will be doing a listener comment section next episode. So if you want to troll us, you can go ahead. We're like Wings of Redemption. We want to read all the troll messages and just shine a spotlight on the negativity in our lives.
I'm not going to say his name, but you know who you are, and we miss you.
Okay. That was cryptic. I don't know what that is.
Well, there you go. That's the new Void Gazers podcast. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
See you next week.